Welcome back to At Home in Your Hymnal, Pastor Poppy, Pastor Moline. We're looking at the details of Divine Service Setting 1 in Lutheran Service Book. We are at the section for the Hymn of Praise. Today we are looking at the Gloria in Excelsis, Glory to God in the Highest. We have been hearing bits and pieces of that at the beginning and at the end, and we want to take some time, and we want to listen to, it's a very short piece, beautiful piece, and familiar to many of you, and if it's not familiar to you, I would just invite you to visit a liturgical worshiping congregation. The Gloria is sung not only in Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations, but it's sung in other Lutheran Church denominations. It's sung in the Anglican Church. It's sung in the Roman Catholic Church. Churches that use a liturgy very, very often use a Gloria as a part of the liturgy, and for a lot of wonderful reasons. The main thing is not historical. As Pastor Moline said in segment number one, the main reason that we use this is because this is the Word of God, and it conveys the truth of God, especially with regard to who Jesus is and what he has done. And so what we want to do now before we look at this rhythm and flow that we've talked about with regard to not only the liturgy in general, but the rhythm and flow included in the Gloria, let's listen to the Gloria from Divine Service Setting 1. This is on page 154 in Lutheran Service Book.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
There you have it. Wonderful words, beautiful words, God's word. That's what makes it beautiful words, but also a beautiful setting. I remember in the olden days back here at Good Shepherd when we, and some of you know the history of this congregation, when I came here over 22 years ago, in fact, the congregation did not use the hymnal, was not familiar with the hymnal. It's been a very slow, very gradual and very joyous journey. And maybe someday we'll take an episode of At Home in Your Hymnal and we'll talk about that as well. But when we started doing the liturgical services out of the hymnal, bits and pieces, it seemed like everybody knew this is the feast. And to get to the point where we could sing the Gloria as a natural part of our worship, to sing the Gloria as the default, and save and reserve that this is the feast hymn of praise for special occasions rather than doing it every week, that was really, really a wonderful thing. And now people that would come into our congregation, they would never, ever know that that history even existed and that we had to learn this tune of this Gloria from scratch. And not everybody was happy about it. But I think everybody is happy about it now. And it is a word that we have, for the most part, committed to memory and is just a wonderful, joyous part of that rhythm and flow of God speaking and the people of God responding, which is what the divine service is all about. Pastor, I've got another resource here, and this is the Manual on the Liturgy that was put out when Lutheran Book of Worship was put out, and this was in the late 1970s. I don't know what the copyright date of this is. It's from Augsburg. It's another one of those forgotten little resources, forgotten little books. Copyright 1979. And there's some helpful things in here, too. And some things, when we sing the Gloria, I don't think we realize or notice very often the rhythm and flow that is going back and forth in this particular tune. And so let me just read them from page 212 for the from the Manual on the Liturgy of Lutheran Book of Worship. And it says, the Gloria in Excelsis is an elaboration of the song of the angels over the fields of Bethlehem, which appears in Luke 2:14. In form, it is a series of acclamations. Now, I want you to think about that. A series of acclamations. And when you think of acclamation, you are thinking you are acclaiming something or you are praising something. So a series of praises. When you go to a Husker football game and the chants are going back and forth, and maybe they're the same words, maybe they're changing the words, maybe they're escalating. I say Husker, you say
Power.
I say, I don't even know what the rest of them are. I have to go to a game.
Go
again.
Big Red.
Yeah, go big red.
Go,
yeah, and you just know that.
It's the liturgy of the football game.
It is the liturgy of the football game. And so when we're singing the Gloria, I don't want to take away from the beauty of the song, but it may be helpful to think about this Gloria with regard to these series of acclamations. And here again, it says, this series of acclamations is a style which was characteristic of the ancient Greek liturgy. And so, once again, it connects us to our past in the Christian church. The canticle opens with an antiphon. Pastor, an antiphon, when I think of antiphon, I think of like bookends, something at the beginning, something at the end. Is there something more that we need to know with regard to that word antiphon?
No, it's just a part of the scripture or a hymn or whatever that's emphasized at the beginning. That's all that word means.
Okay, so the canticle opens with an antiphon, glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. It is followed by three stanzas of acclamation. And before we get into those individual stanzas of acclamation, I want to talk about the first antiphon here. Glory to God in the highest. Pastor, we've talked about this before. Why do I need to tell God that he has glory? Why do I need to tell him that he is the highest? We've clearly established that God does not need his ego stroked. He is the owner, author of all things. So by making this statement, glory to God in the highest, what are we accomplishing and why are we doing it?
It's not saying it so that God knows who he is. God, in his very essence, exists and knows who he is. Rather, it's said for our good so that we know who God is and that we acknowledge who he is. God likes it when we speak his word back to him, when we tell him what he has told us, the same way that I like it when I tell my child, put your dishes in the dishwasher, and then if I ask him, what did I tell you to do? And they say, put my dishes in the dishwasher. I like the fact that they at least heard what I said so that I know I wasn't speaking to a brick wall or whatever. And in the same way with God, he likes us, his children, to say back to him the things he's taught us for our sake and for our good, to show that we know what we're confessing.
And sometimes when the kids are speaking back directions or words to mommy and daddy, they don't really believe them and they don't really like them. There's something different going on here, too, because it's not mere rote repetition, mindlessly saying back to God what he says to us, unless we really believe these words.
Right.
We cannot give glory to God in the highest, in the lowest, any place in between. It is a confession of faith, that same saying back to God. We're saying it to him not only because he wants us to, because he likes it, but because we believe it. And repetition is the mother of all learning, and that's why these parts of the service that we repeat, it's not to put anybody to sleep, and it's not because we don't take seriously the parts of Scripture that talk about vain repetition. This is not vain repetition. This is repetition with a purpose. It is teaching the faith, and it is confessing the faith. What are we confessing? Peace to his people on earth. Now, this may seem like clumsy wording, peace to his people on earth. And if you're familiar with some of the older Lutheran liturgies, the words here are a little bit different. And it's a more accurate translation of what Luke 2:14 is all about. Many times when people talk about the Christmas story in Luke 2, this is some kind of a generic peace, peace and goodwill to men. And while that is true, that is not specific enough. So first of all, Pastor, a few words on peace. What kind of peace are we talking about?
Talking about a peace that the world can understand, not just people getting along in the world, but rather the conflict that's been between humanity and God because of our sin and our wrongdoing against his word has been solved in the baby that's born in Bethlehem. That's why Christ comes, to bleed and to die and to rise again so that all of our sins might be forgiven. And with our sin forgiven, we can now be in the presence of a holy and righteous God. There's no longer conflict between us. It has been solved and taken care of with Jesus Christ. That's a peace that God wishes there to be between us, and it's a peace that as long as we live in this sinful world, we cannot fully comprehend.
I have told this to people before, and I want to get your reaction, Pastor. I have said that when we're in the liturgy of the church and you hear the word peace, you can mentally translate that as the forgiveness of sins. Is that accurate? Is that fair? Do you like that?
Well, wherever there's forgiveness of sins, there's peace as well. These things go hand in hand with, if we have no forgiveness of sins, there's not peace. And so, you can definitely make that analogy and that connection.
You cannot have peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of soul, apart from the peace which surpasses all understanding, the forgiveness of sins won by the bloody death and the glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pastor, we got about a minute left in this segment. Peace to who? Who? Peace to his people on earth. Why is that significant that we say those words in that way?
Well, we say those words in that way because it is a declaration really here that there's peace here. This is where the battlefield was. It's almost like Abraham Lincoln going to Gettysburg where the battle had been fought and giving his speech there. In the same way, the glory given to God, this was the enemy-held territory until Christ won it for God and the right side through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So when we have peace here on earth, it is a declaration that God has won and the battle's over, and he stands on the field of battle victorious. See his banners flow, perhaps we could quote from the hymn.
Oh, there we go. All right, we need to take a short break. This is At Home in Your Hymnal. We're looking at the Gloria from Divine Service 1. When we come back, we're going to look at the three stanzas of acclamation, this peace that surpasses all understanding. We have much reason to celebrate. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back.